Did you know that a Greek man once converted to Islam and gave up $100 million fortune to go fight the Soviets in Afghanistan? You see, Manuel Mavroldion was a titan in the shipping industry, descending from the long-established shipping family in Greece, and he eventually moved his empire to the UK and amassed a fortune of over $100 million, securing his place among the business elite. And it was in this context that in 1958, his son Carlos was born. From the very beginning, Carlos was immersed in a life of luxury and affluence and endless possibilities. He was raised in a multicultural environment, becoming fluent in many languages, including English and French, Greek and Spanish. And as he became a teenager, he was even accepted into Eton College, one of the most prestigious schools in the UK. There he thrived, excelling in his studies and even representing his school as an athlete in various sports such as rowing, rugby, and cricket. He was living the perfect life, one of luxury and prestige and success, a life that most other people could only dream of, and yet he hated it. Carlos couldn't shake the feeling of emptiness that haunted him throughout his privileged upbringing. The expectations placed upon him by his family and society weighed heavily on his shoulders. He was groomed to continue the legacy of a family's shipping empire, and yet deep down he yearned for something different. And so he began planning his escape. He told his parents that he was going to stay with a few friends in the countryside of France. And because this was before the cell phone revolution of the 1990s, there were no phones there and they wouldn't hear from him for at least 2 weeks. His plan was to head to Burma in Southeast Asia and make a living smuggling rubies. The year was 1974 and Carlos was only 16 years old. He began traveling east from France, making his way through Europe and eventually into Central Asia and Afghanistan, and then finally into modern-day Pakistan, high up in the Hindu Kush Mountains. For the next 2 years, he worked odd jobs as a laborer and as a bodyguard, and he was even adopted by a Pashtun tribe and learned to speak the Pashto language. It was an experience like no other, and one that would eventually bring him into the fold of Islam. But in 1976, Carlos decided it was time to return to Britain. His family hadn't heard from him for the last 2 years, and had believed that he was dead, never to be seen from again. When he reappeared in front of them, it was nothing short of a miracle. Carlos attempted to reintegrate now into the life he had left behind. He resumed his studies and eventually moved to the US and enrolled in Harvard University. And with his wealth and connections, he was soon mingling with America's rich and famous, even becoming friends with the Kennedy family. In the early 1980s, he graduated Harvard and moved to Manhattan, and over the next few years, he worked as a Wall Street broker and slowly built a small fortune of his own. He was intelligent and well-connected and daring. But all of the luxuries and perks of living in Manhattan were becoming less and less appealing as the years waned by and his thoughts slowly returned to his old friends in the Hindu Kush Mountains. It was now 1985. 9 years had flown by since he had gone on his perilous journey to the East, and a lot had happened since then. In 1979, the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan and staged a coup, installing a communist government in the country. This led to a rise of a series of rebel groups known as the Afghan Mujahideen, who were supported by Pakistan and China and Saudi Arabia and even the United States. By 1985, fighting was still ongoing in Afghanistan between the Soviets and the Mujahideen, and as news of the fighting regularly reached the people of New York, Carlos decided he wanted to find his old friends and join them in their fight. So he booked a one-way ticket and boarded a flight to Islamabad, Pakistan. And when Carlos arrived in Islamabad, he took a car and drove it to Peshawar, a city near the border of Afghanistan. Many of the Mujahideen groups in Afghanistan had bases in Peshawar, and he managed to introduce himself and convince one of the groups to take him across the border. He was now 26 years old, a young Greek man from an affluent family sitting in the back of a Mujahideen truck, entering a war with the Soviet Union. He had sold all of his material wealth back in Manhattan. That life was now behind him. He would never look back. At some point during the next few years, Carlos accepted Islam, adopting the name Karimullah. He prayed with the Afghans and dressed like the Afghans and improved his Pashto fluency. Initially, his involvement in the Mujahideen struggle was focused on political aspects, such as managing interactions with foreign reporters and attending American dignitaries. However, his desire to actively participate in combat grew, and eventually he ended up picking up a gun
and fighting.
By 1988, he had become an experienced fighter and was especially skilled at planning ambushes and surprise attacks. Eventually, he even became the commander of a 12-man unit and was operating missions on his own. But in 1989, the Soviet Union pulled out of Afghanistan. And while fighting continued against the communist Afghans who had allied themselves with the Soviets, Carlos took that opportunity to travel back to London and get in contact with news agencies there, requesting equipment and support in order to document the war that was still going on in Afghanistan. He was now both a Mujahideen commander and a war correspondent at the same time, shooting his AK-47 in one hand and footage from his camera in the other. By the end of the year, the war in Afghanistan had ended and the Mujahideen were victorious. Carlos then decided to travel to other countries which were experiencing their own wars and upheavals. He moved from Iraq to Sudan to Burma to Angola and Rwanda and even visited Somalia many times in between, all while documenting his travels and sending footage back to the news outlets in the West. In one instance, Carlos was seen standing on top of a jeep, clutching a handgun in one hand and a bag of cash in the other, while surrounded by a group of armed men shouting at him. Other war journalists from NBC and ABC had asked Carlos to pay the men for their protection, but Carlos refused to pay them until they first prayed their salah. In another instance, Carlos was caught in the middle of a firefight and decided to take a lunch break. He found a couple of lobsters and started barbecuing them on a couple of bayonets, eating them while the fighting was still going on all around. Carlos was quickly becoming a legend amongst war correspondents around the world, but little did they know that his time was coming to an end. On August 23rd, 1998, Carlos returned to Peshawar, staying on the third floor of a $10 a night hotel in the city center. He was there to report on the bombings that took place in Khost, Afghanistan, just a few days earlier. The US had launched Operation Infinite Reach, attacking several training camps in Afghanistan, which they claimed were being used by Al-Qaeda. Carlos disguised himself as a local and made his way to the border town of Miranshah in order to cross the border into Afghanistan. But when he arrived in town, he was stopped at a security checkpoint and questioned about why he was trying to enter Afghanistan. The whole country was on edge at that moment, and they had decided to put Carlos on a bus and send him back to Peshawar. And when he arrived back in Peshawar, he went up to his hotel room, shut off the lights, lay in bed, and fell asleep. The next day, Carlos's phone started ringing, but there was no answer. It rang and rang several times more, but again, no answer. After not having answered his phone all day, his associate journalists were beginning to worry about him. And as they went to go check up on him, they opened his door, and they found him lying sprawled out on his bed, lifeless. News began circulating reports that he had been a drug addict and that needles had been found all over his room. Perhaps he had overdosed on heroin. But all of his colleagues testified that in all the years he had worked with them, never had they seen him use any drugs. He was known to be a devout Muslim, and until this day, no one is certain how he died, and the circumstances of his death remain a mystery. But one thing that's certain is the extraordinary life that he lived. From being the heir to a $100 million fortune, to working on Wall Street as a broker and being friends of the Kennedys, to joining the Mujahideen, commanding a battalion of soldiers against the Soviets and accepting Islam and dying upon it. Carlos Mavrolyon certainly lived one of the most incredible tales ever told. Like, subscribe for more Muslim Facts.
It's no longer enough for me to be sitting at home watching television and watching other people doing this. I want to be there myself. I want to be in the middle of it. I enjoy this. This is something that I do particularly well. I have no choice in the matter. God selected me to do exactly this job, and it's the reason that I do it.